Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
Youth participation is on the agenda of most community centres. Today we'll be talking to an expert from Youth Opportunities, Executive Manager Stephen Vercek, who has developed the youth participation framework with a lot of stakeholders involved and is going to share some stories about how community centres can engage youth and find ways to more easily participate and get them in their centres. Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, Stephen. I was very excited to do this podcast because Youth Opportunities is deeply into the youth space. And of course, I can't recall how many times it's been said to me from community centres that they are really keen to engage youth. Now, that's an area you've been involved with for a long time. Tell us about your background, Stephen, and how you came to Youth Opportunities.
Absolutely. Well, it's a bit of a long story, but I'll try to keep it a bit short. So if you can tell by my accent from the podcast, I'm not from Australia originally. I'm from the U.S. originally, but haven't lived there in about 13 years and done a variety of work with young people on and off before I finished my uni degree. But after that, I was accepted into a development program in Africa a while ago. But I spent 3 years there working on a variety of projects with young people in both the youth participation, youth engagement, young people from a variety of different vulnerable populations. So that was a very kind of pivotal piece of work for me in my life. And then after that, I spent 3 years in South Korea working on a variety of projects with young people as well. A quite significant one was a project that focused on supporting young North Korean refugees that were working to reintegrate into South Korean society. So obviously young people from a very sort of distinct and unique background situation. Then after coming here to Australia, worked for a variety of organizations, but found my way to the incredible Youth Opportunities. Now I've been fortunate to support projects that have been placed in almost every state and territory with a strong focus on SA, with a focus on the empowerment of young people, supporting young people to have the tools, strategies, and skills to be successful in their future, tools for young people to proactively manage their own mental health and just kind of really grab a hold of the world and make it into what they want it to be.
Thank you for that background, Stephen. It's interesting, isn't it, that today we have the most intergenerational workforce we've ever had because baby boomers aren't retiring due to cost of living. Alphas are coming into the workplace today. So you'll often hear old people say the youth of today and for younger people to say, oh, old people. What's your comments around that about where you see there can be some shared learnings and how each can engage and embrace each other's differences?
Yeah, wow, that's a good question. And I think because of the situation, you know, that we're in, it's kind of the only way that we really can go if we want to work towards a positive outcome. Because now, as we know, there's a lot of challenges that people are facing in our global environment, whether they're young or old or, you know, from millennial generation, which I'm from. So I think a good bit of empathy and understanding, you know, everyone can kind of approach. I was speaking with a group today about a program for a regional community sports development initiative, which is really focused on trying to get young people to participate more in the community, not just in sport, but in volunteerism. And what they found was that there was a big disconnect between, you know, the aging members of the sporting club and the young people that were trying to find a place where they could engage. And so they recognized that because of that age gap, there was often trouble, you know, connecting. But fundamentally, there was a lot of similarities in what both the older generation, who, you know, some of them were around for the founding of some of these clubs, as well as the young people that, you know, kind of brought their new passion to this environment. And obviously in regional areas, as you would know, there's so much importance around community sport and what that means for engagement with the community. So I think creating a level of empathy and understanding around what our shared passions are, like that's a pretty good starting point to open up some of those conversations, because what it means is that we find that common ground and potential way forward together.
That's a great example using sports, Stephen. So let's talk about the Youth Participatory Framework. How did this get set up and what's been the result?
Well, great question. You know, Youth Opportunities, we're quite good at finding ways to listen to and elevate the voices of young people. It's one of our key tenets. We say that we put young people at the heart of what we do. And we've always had sort of an informal process for that, but the Youth Participation Framework really creates a formalized structure around how we listen to and elevate the voices of young people. And we have been excitingly working on that. It's been driven by one of our past graduates of our programs, who's now working for a consultancy and has come back and said, look, like, I'm really passionate about giving back. I've had such a great benefit of the programs and engagement and youth opportunities. It's just something that I can do. And I said, well, oddly enough, we're looking to kind of create this youth participation framework that really lays out how we engage with young people, why we do it, what's the benefit to them, to us, and, you know, what are these different opportunities that we can bring together some research, some experience, and all of these things to help show and put outward facing as well as internally, this is who we are as an organization, and this is how we really want to recognize, value, and bring forward the voices of young people. Because as a youth organization, you know, how can we say that we listen to youth and care about youth if we are not really doing that in, you know, a formalized and structured way?
So how did the youth participation framework get rolled out, Stephen? Just tell us about some more context around this.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So we're still in the middle of the design of the project, and it started with some brainstorming around what we've done in the past, what's worked really well, what young people have liked to do with us, I mean, you know, through a variety of ways. And a simple window into that is that we involve people in the design and delivery of services. So if we have a new service that we want to design, we bring together young people and we ask them, hey, so, you know, what was it like in, you know, year 9 or year 10? What was the primary challenges that you were facing? You know, what was the real struggle for you? Was it within school? Was it outside? You know, was it specifically around mental health, or was it around communication or anxiety? So we always ask young people specifically about where they found the problem to lie, because, you know, this participation framework, one of the tenets of it basically says that the service user, in this case, the young person, you know, in many ways, they are the expert in problems they're facing. So that's one simplistic way. But for the rest of the framework, we're doing a variety of consultation now with young people. So we basically ask them in a session, like, if you wanted to be a part of something like this, what could it look like for you? Do you want to be on a youth advisory committee? You know, do you want to come together for a specific project work? Do you want to give some insight into the hiring of staff? So we posed a couple of examples to them, but we also gave them quite a bit of freedom to explore it on their own. And they came up with some, you know, really exciting ideas around, you know, terms of reference for subcommittees and things that we found really surprising that they were quite interested in. So, you know, right now we're scoping the specific ways that we can engage young people and bringing in the research element. So, you know, we're also putting an evidence-based framework around it. And then in the next couple months, we will be putting together this kind of shinier version, and we'll be taking it back to young people, having them have a look at it, and then we would ideally do a formal launch by the end of this year.
Stephen, that sounds fabulous. What I'm really keen to help our community centre members with is, how do you actually reach young people to come to engage in a project like this?
Yeah, that's, I think, one of the ongoing age-old questions. And in preparation for this, I actually asked a young person, because I wanted to, you know, if I'm talking about youth participation on this podcast, I wanted to make sure that I actually came armed with the evidence that, you know, here's us doing it in action. So I basically said to this young person who's working with me on a project, I was like, what are some other ways that, you know, community organizations or whoever else that are trying to engage with young people? Because, you know, in some ways, schools, they have a little bit of a captive audience, but, you know, even us, a lot of times, adults can be quite directive. You know, we want to do this thing. You are a young person. Come and do this thing with us, right? So a really strong method of youth participation creates an environment and a space where young people can actually come forward proactively with their own idea and example. And this young person told me about, they were laughing about it, an interesting example from their high school experience, where they basically said, you know, they were running a Dungeons & Dragons group at home, and they had 5+ other boys coming home. And at one point, mom said, look, I can't keep feeding you and all your friends. You're going to have to find, like, another place to set up this club. And this young person was at a bit of a loss for direction. Like, they had no idea where to go or what to do. And so young person's mom ended up reaching out to a local community center, and they said, oh, you know, actually, we have this room that's free and available from these times on these dates. You know, would you like to come down and use it? And to this young person, they were completely shocked that they could even do something like that, that they could have an idea and they could go to a space and create and make it happen, that the fact that that was a possibility. And so then this ended up turning into a whole thing. And as far as this young person knows, that club is still going on and is still driven by young people. And then there was an opportunity, there was a cooking program or something that was happening as well. And so the young people got access to food as well. So it's kind of a cool story. But I think the key tenet for me is that if an organization can create a space or an opportunity that is open and put out the word either through a channel that they have at a school or maybe somebody else they know that works with young people. Hey, we have this space, we have this opportunity, we have this thing. We want to involve young people in some way, shape, or form. Just creating that opportunity as a starting point is a way to, I think, go down that road.
Well, I'm so pleased to hear that you mentioned about the community centre with the Dungeons and Dragons, because I do know that community centres run that. So that's just great that you've been able to share that example. One of the things that we do here, Stephen, is that differences between the generations is that for that alpha generation coming through, if it's not explained over TikTok or over a video, then they're not interested.
Mm-hmm.
How did you integrate technology into reaching young people or allowing them to even express these ideas or to even document the ideas?
Yeah, that's a good point. I can give you one specific example that I can think of, but in some ways I would almost provide an element of a challenge to that as well, if that's okay.
Yes.
So the first one is that, you know, we work with a couple of what we call our leader groups. So young people that finish our primary program and then get involved in our post-program setup that we have. And a lot of these young people there, they're looking for that next stage of leadership development. And so we bring them together and we have them work on projects. We have them design resources, help us with social media, do a variety of different services. And because they are from sometimes different geographic areas, sometimes regional areas, using technology to bring them together has been really successful. And it was something that we were a bit concerned about because, you know, there's been that sort of up and down post-COVID of the over-inundation with technology and our young people, you know, tired of online learning and the online development space. But it still has been working for us with these groups. And so, you know, we use a combination of Zoom and digital tools like Mentimeter and Google Slides and different ways that we can work together with our project teams online and bring forward some of those digital resources. In terms of TikTok and social media, I think that's an area that we're still trying to explore, even to bring our own organization forward. And it's something that, with everything, you know, we always ask ourselves, what would a young person say about this? So we always try to have that approach in the back of our mind because we might think that this is right, this is smart, and this is, you know, what we want to do. But again, is this actually going to work for a young person? So whatever situation we approach, we always try to sense check with them. And then my challenge to that situation, like I said before, is what I found in different environments is that young people still connect quite strongly with analog engagement. And what I basically mean in terms of that is, like, young people, I think, are still thriving to get involved in a situation where they can, you know, in person, connect. They can share information. They can have conversations. They can have debates. They can get involved in a physical game that teaches learning. So although I do believe, you know, absolutely they are the TikTok age and Snapchat and all of those things, I do believe that there still is that inherent desire to connect and learn in the physical space as well.
I'm talking today to Stephen Virchek, Executive Manager, Innovation and Impact of Youth Opportunities. Stephen, a question I wanted to put to you, just staying on that line, is that desire to be face-to-face versus online, because it's often said of young people they prefer to be the keyboard warrior or behind the online rather than face-to-face, particularly with conflict resolution or being assertive about their ideas. What comments have you got to that?
Oh, well, that's a tough one. You know, I think it really depends. There's a lot of factors that go into that situation. Oftentimes, it's really hard to know what a young person's thoughts, feelings, experiences, and ideas are until you actually get to be able to ask them about it. And I find often that I'm quite surprised by what young people share with me and what they tell me and what they know and what they learn. And so, you know, I think there are elements to that because obviously we are fully inundated with the digital age, but I also find that I'm proven wrong a lot because, you know, I frequently catch up with young people in person. In regards to the statement around conflict resolution and that kind of thing, yeah, I think absolutely that is a lacking skill for young people, communication in general, as told to me by them. But, you know, I'd also say I think adults as well, you know, we oftentimes still struggle with that. So it's one of those soft skills that, you know, we actually work on in our programs around conflict resolution, assertive communication, and trying to find win-win outcomes that we find that in the workplace, in your sporting clubs, wherever it might be, you will still see adults that are missing out on those skills too. So going back to your intergenerational kind of statement, it's probably something that we could all learn about and work on together.
Of course. And one of the key aspects that come out to what's facing society in general is loneliness. And I understand from feedback that we're gathering through our community centres that a lot of that can centre around men, and particularly young men. Did you experience that when you've been engaging with youth, Stephen?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that all people are seeking some element of connection. Like, it's a fundamental thing for us as human beings. I mean, I know that there has been some data specifically around that situation for young men, and organizations like Movember are really coming out and trying to call that to the forefront because of the poor kind of life outcomes that we see. And, you know, with the young people that we work with as an organization, there's a variety of challenges that we see in different areas. Sometimes it's, you know, they start losing a bit of motivation for school or for other bits of their life at home, engaging in sport or whatever else. You know, maybe they're having some relationship breakdowns. Again, same challenges, whether it's with teachers in school, whether it's with mates, or whether it's at home. There's young people that oftentimes they, you know, get into year 10 or so and they're like, what am I supposed to do for the rest of my life? How do I figure out what my purpose is? You know, what should I do for a job? How am I supposed to know what classes I should focus on? Should I go to uni? Should I do a trade? There's a multitude of all of those factors that come together, I think, and oftentimes those can cause young people to lose connection, and they can lose relationships, they can lose all these other things, and absolutely that can contribute to loneliness. So I guess my answer is that I think it's a variety of factors that might also impact on things like loneliness.
Well, Stephen, bearing in mind that community centres, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, are very keen to attract youth, if you were a community centre, how would you start that engagement process? Because they run a plethora of programs in their centres, which by their very nature, it's all about community need driven. How would they do that?
Sounds like a very strategic question. Well, I think what I said in the beginning about having that space, or whatever form that looks like. So part of it, I think it could be just being open to what young people might have an idea around, because I think sometimes we have an idea we're going to run, you know, an A program, a B program, and a C program, but if a young person wants to do something outside of those, we might not have, you know, we're always constrained by resources, time, capacity, and those things. So with that in mind, I would say, you know, having some type of a space that has openness to what young people might bring to the table, because they might surprise you and come forward with that idea. I think a second thing that community centers could do is look at partnerships. So there's a lot of really good organizations out there that have spent time working with and developing relationships to connect in with young people, whether it's through schools or other places. So if you find that you can create a partnership, then that gives you an automatic in to being able to talk to, ask, and seek what young people might need or value. So I think that's one way to do it. And then I think about what a young person would want. Like, why would a young person come to a community place? Is it because there's a fun, engaging environment? Or, you know, is there some type of benefit to them? Like, maybe they could learn a skill, or, you know, maybe there's a silent disco, or I don't know, like anything. But again, it's important to recognize, like, what are the inherent reasons why a young person might go there? So spending some time to research in whatever way, shape, or form to develop that knowledge will help to inform process of creating an environment that young people will come to.
Great advice, Stephen. So you've worked on the Youth Participation Framework, but Youth Opportunities do a lot more. Can you just walk us through what the organization offers and what its purpose is?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we've been around for 27 years now, and we are a flagship organization in South Australia. In the past couple of years, we have done some more work nationally and shared some of our tools and resources. But fundamentally, what we do is we deliver what's called personal leadership programs. And these programs focus on three primary areas. So the first is about social and emotional learning competencies, so helping young people around those emotional intelligence areas, you know, maybe there's a bit of conflict resolution, you know, understanding their own emotions. The second is enterprise skills or soft skills. So what are those kind of key skills that all people need to be successful in their lives? You know, communication, planning, critical thinking, stuff like that. And then the final area is some proactive skills for managing their own positive well-being and mental health, because we know that if a young person is not feeling well about themselves, then it's going to be hard for them to feel motivated and driven, etc. So, you know, these primary programs, we deliver them in South Australia. We usually partner with schools. And what we find is that the young people that go through our programs, we see increases in confidence, we see better relationships, we see young people that are more motivated in a school, we see better engagement and attainment at school. To young people that have a better idea about their future and are able to actually think and plan about their future. And just generally, I think we see young people that are happier and more motivated and excited about taking on the world.
Sounds absolutely amazing. Stephen, how do listeners to the podcast today find out more about Youth Opportunities?
So you can just Google Youth Opportunities and you can find correct access to our website. We're also accessible on Instagram and most social media accounts, but not TikTok just yet.
There may be an opportunity potentially for centres to be involved with the Youth Participation Framework.
Absolutely.
And would they direct that to yourself, Stephen?
Yeah, they can reach out to me. You can find me on the website as well. It's just my full name, separated by a full stop, at youthops.com.au. So send me an email. You know, we do consultative work as well. We've done some things with organizations like Department of Human Services in the past, supporting them with their youth action plan and other bits of work like that.
Stephen, it's been delightful speaking with you today on the podcast, and you've just shared some great information for our listeners about how they can engage youth, and I wish you all the best with the framework.
Thank you so much, and thanks for your time.
On behalf of all the Community Centres SA teams, thanks for listening. Feel free to get in touch with us at communitycentressa.asn.au. We'll be back next week. But wherever you are, at home, with your work and in your daily life, we hope that we have planted a seed to enable ongoing community conversations.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.